is the Aging Well Together theme music, so that means we are starting our program. Yay! Welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Happy Leap Day, happy leap year. This is exciting, and today's show is going to be super helpful for our listeners. It's going to be all about resources to help you explore long-term care options. My good friend and colleague Davis Capps is here from All About Seniors, and we have a lot to discuss. I'm excited for all we're going to learn together, but before we dive into our show, as always, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. For our loyal listeners, you should know the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the ridiculously helpful team, as I always like to say, at the Orange County Department on Aging. I was with a number of the team members this week, and as always, they amaze me with their level of dedication and resources. They're fantastic. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3 or stream us live through WCOMFM.org. Or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our awesome podcasts, as we call them, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is www.orangecountync.gov/aging. On the website, you can also find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of other helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. I've started to say that as we get a bigger audience, I think. I always want to differentiate from Orange County, California, Orange County, Florida, Orange County, everywhere else, but we are Orange County, North Carolina. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging at, this is where you get your pen and paper, their number is 919-968-2070. Or you can feel free to email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. All one long word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And many thanks to those of you who have been reaching out. We have so many great shows planned, and we've had a bunch of great shows, all because people, I sound like other radio stations, public, because of listeners like you that have reached out and suggested great topics. And a shout out to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening and closing music. You heard just a moment of it. I always stop it too soon. I'm sorry. But you'll hear a lot of the songs. Their original song, Mayfly, at the end of the show. And if you missed our recent show, about three or four shows ago, the Robert Bradford Quartet was here in the studio playing live music and sharing stories about their experiences and inspirations. It was really awesome and so fun. And so if you go to our website, orangecountync.gov/aging, and click on the Aging Well Together radio show, you'll see a list of all of our podcasts, and you'll see when the Robert Bradford Quartet came, and you'll be able to listen to them. I highly recommend it. You are just hearing me today hosting. You're missing my fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, who's probably listening. Alicia, we miss you. Alicia is off doing her civic duty. She is staffing early voting. So be sure to, as I always say, vote early and often. No, just vote. Not multiple times, but I know I was over at the Seymour Center. What's amazing is you can go and learn about all their great programs and vote while you're there. So, Alicia, thank you for staffing our early voting here in Orange County, and we miss you. And Alicia will be back next week to be with me and then to be with her show, Afternoon Talk with Alicia. And as you know, she is a fantastic wellness instructor and just a guru on anything, on everything. So Alicia, if you're listening, which I know she often is, we miss you. All right, enough about the show. A little quick about me. I am Heather Altman. As you should know by now, I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. You'll hear today all about how I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. And this show, I usually talk often, but this show I'll be extra chatty because I have a great guest this week. We have Davis Capps, owner and founder of All About Seniors. Davis specializes in senior living. He is also a senior real estate specialist, and we're going to learn all about what that means. Davis isn't only my longtime friend and colleague in the aging space, but Davis, it was about 6 months ago that I actually joined him and the team at All About Seniors. So we work together as well, and so I get to see on a daily basis his heart and integrity, dedication and compassion for older adults and their families. I keep giving him a hard time to come on the show. I know he's a little shy. I told him today is not the day to be shy. I am so thrilled he's here on this special Leap Day show. Welcome, friend Davis.
Thank you very much, Heather. I appreciate you having me today and look forward to sharing some resources for the aging population of Orange County, and glad to be here. This is an impressive studio you
got
here.
Isn't it fun? It's super fun here. Everyone, you're all welcome to come visit us. Feel free to call in, though I'm not sure how to put – I've tried it once before. If you want to call in with any questions, feel free to try it, 919-246-9639, or we are in a totally windowed studio. So feel free to just come down to where the Carbro Art Center used to be, the old art center, and wave to us. But, Davis, I'm so excited you get to see me and this quirky studio, but come and share your expertise and wisdom. Now, we both work with All About Seniors, and we had our colleague Karen Upberg was on the show a few months ago about planning and caregiver resources. I often do disclaimers on the show. Normally it's about other people, but this time I will say today's show is not a commercial for All About Seniors. Rather, we'll keep it general, a discussion about the support that's out there for people as they're exploring a range of long-term care options. But I love double negatives. I couldn't not have you on, Davis, just because we work together. And I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. So now, before we get all into All About Seniors and your work, we always like to start the show to ask our guests to share a little bit about themselves. So tell us, where are you from? What were the experiences that raised you, and how did you get into this field? So there's a lot there.
Okay, that is a lot. But
we'll just start with where are you from.
I grew up in a small community in Warren County, North Carolina, about an hour north of Raleigh. Grew up there and went to NC State, majored in business management. Soon after graduating from NC State, I started a career in real estate. Worked full-time in that for 12 or so years before the market took a dive in 08, and decided I had to do something different at that point. So I was looking for a industry that I felt like would be here long term and not go anywhere. So a friend of mine, BJ Webb, that worked for Brookdale Senior Living at that point, talked to me and thought it was a good idea to maybe try something in the senior living space. So she hired me at Brookdale as their business development director, and that's when things took off, and I got more of an interest in working with seniors on a daily basis and how we could help them. And now we're in the process of tying the real estate part of our business in together with the senior living business, because all situations are different for the aging population and they need our help in several different aspects. But now I've been in it about 15 total years, and every day's somewhat different for all of you that are dealing with the challenges that your parents are facing. We can all vouch for what you're going through, but there's tons of resources out there, and that's why I'm here today for Heather and I to help spread the word about different things that you may not be aware of that may help your situation.
Well, thank you for that. And it's always funny when I get to know my friends better on the air. I was wondering that the transition from real estate to senior living, which is not too much of a transition, but there was a little bit. So I was curious how that happened. So before we get into, like, really even more into All About Seniors, your switch or kind of staying in real estate, you became a senior real estate specialist. And recently I was telling someone you were that, and they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, well, he specializes in senior real estate. They're like, but what does that mean? I'm like, I don't know. I'll ask him on the show. So, because you actually have a certification, like you.
Yeah, it's a special designation through the National Association of Realtors. I guess the National Association saw years ago that there were specific challenges that the seniors and the aging population face that younger adults selling houses may not have, as far as their health care challenges, their accumulation of 50 years of personal property in the houses, their need to downsize, their need for more help with the moving process, estate sales, and that type of thing. So they put together this SRES, Senior Real Estate Specialist designation, for people that work with seniors on a day-to-day basis, so they could provide additional training and will be a better support system for the aging population.
That's so cool. It's so helpful. And I know you and I both see firsthand how helpful it is and how needed, because it is different. And I've had, I won't go into, we won't do any names, but I've had clients that have switched from their current realtors to our folks because they wanted that level of expertise and really understanding, because it's not just about a home, it's about a community, it's about all the issues when they're selling. But now you're still, this is where you and I differ, because I come up through the aging space, you come up through the real estate space. You're still a realtor, real estate agent. I always say the wrong
term. Yeah, it's either or. It's all good. Broker, realtor, real estate agent.
So you're currently doing that quite a bit.
Yes, my wife and I own both businesses, Stonewood Properties. We have a separate real estate business, and we also own All About Seniors. My main focus when the real estate market crashed in 2008, when I got into senior living, was to focus on the senior living space. Mm-hmm. And as we got into it more and more, we kept seeing they were helping seniors transition into retirement communities for, you know, the extra support that they needed. And a lot of these families that were helping also had homes that they've been living in for 50, 60 years that they needed to sell to help pay for their time in senior living, because all of us know that the retirement communities aren't cheap these days.
Nope.
So we set up a program where, you know, by that time we've already built the rapport with the families and gained their trust. So it was a lot less stressful on them to go ahead and allow us to handle the listing and marketing of their properties for sale, instead of them having to start over with a new realtor that they know nothing about. And we also offer them discounts on the listing of their homes, because we're already helping them with the transition to retirement communities. So we can afford to do that.
I love that. I love that we can, I get to say we now. My pronouns are we.
Yeah.
That we can offer
all this. You're one of the family. Okay.
I am one of the family that you can offer these services. Now I can say we. So then tell us about the motivation to start your origin story with All About Seniors. Because you and I met a number of years ago. I was at Carol Woods. You were at Brookdale. So we were both in the industry. You were on the business side. I was more on the whatever side. I was on community outreach programs and planning kind of side. And we met, but then you decided to start another business.
Right,
clearly,
right.
Clearly that business major from NC State's coming in handy.
Yeah, I've always been an entrepreneur at heart. And by that time, I'd been working as Brookdale's business development director, covering their eight triangle communities for 7 or 8 years at that point. And I was enjoying my job, Brookdale, nothing but great things to say about them, great company, but I was getting a little frustrated because I would help families try to find the right fit for them in senior living communities, but if the Brookdale communities didn't line up with their goals and objectives and type thing for the families that they were pursuing, I wouldn't have any other options to take the families to, so I sort of hit a brick wall, so I got thinking one day that I could do this on my own and hopefully have partnerships with all the retirement communities in the area, not just the Brookdale community, so we'll have more options for the families to choose from and therefore make the fits better for them when we're out searching for the appropriate community.
And in just a moment, we're going to start diving into the different options that exist there. But just while we're finishing up, because it's... Yes, we're talking about All About Seniors. There's other organizations like ours that help people find communities. We prefer places where people work with actual people in person versus the website online, but just kind of share with folks a little bit about this business of, I hate the term, but the placement organizations, just so as our listeners see places like A Place for Mom on a website, or they hear about companies like us, what, kind of like, how does the payment work that makes us different, just so that people understand.
Shame on you for mentioning that out of the company.
I just feel like a lot of people know about it. We struggle, folks, with the websites, all A Place for Mom, but I had to. Okay.
They're a national company, and they do their own thing, but we're more hands-on.
They don't provide hands-on support, which is why we struggle with it.
Right.
Sorry, but
we're here local, embedded in our local communities throughout the Triangle. We have four senior living specialists in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Cary market, and all of us have extensive experience working inside the communities, working in the skilled nursing settings, the home care settings, the independent living settings, and we know the people that actually run the communities here. So that gives us an advantage on trying to figure out the best fit for the families when we run across specific challenges that they're having. But we get started when we start talking to a family. We go out and do an assessment in person with the families, try to determine what their current care challenges are. All different situations. Mom just lost her husband. She's living at home for the first time in 50 years, and the family just doesn't think she can live at home safely any longer. So we go out, talk with them about the care challenges, talk about the budget restraints they may have, the location they want mom to live in, whether that's where she's been, close to where she's been living now, or maybe that's closer to a son or daughter that can stop by and see her more often, what their social goals are. So many seniors, mm-hmm. since COVID took place, have had depression set in. They've lost contact with their family and friends, and social interaction that they can get in these communities has been a big plus, especially since COVID.
I'm so glad you brought up that point, because when I talk with people about themselves, their own needs, or about their family needs, sometimes it quickly goes to the physical care and safety, but they forget about, we want you to have joy, we want you to have socialization, we want you to meet other people and be engaged. And they're like, oh yeah, that's important too, really, because, yeah.
Right. So, I think I got sidetracked with your question.
We'll bring it back. And again, just because I want to honor the fact that we're not just a commercial about us, but that there are companies like ours that will help people find and identify good resources. And there's two different models as I see it. There's those of us that do it and there's no charge to families. And then there are those that do it, when I used to do private geriatric care management work or Aging Life Care Association, where they have a different model where they charge hourly for the support. But the takeaway is that there are people, professionals, who can help you. That's where I was going with it.
Yeah, for sure. And each model's set up a little different. And ours is a no-cost thing, but we have referral agreements with the retirement communities. But I want to make this point, Heather, while I'm thinking about it, so
keep
don't
going.
Forget it. But
We
also, we have so many different resources that are available to families that they may not be aware of, that people don't understand that we help with also, like helping people get qualified for VA benefits, mm-hmm. Putting folks in touch with elder law attorneys that can help them mm-hmm. set up trusts. So mom, if she ever needs skilled nursing down the road, she'll be set up to be approved for that. We help families find Medicaid placements. I mean, we can't earn any money off that, but we have it in our heart in the right place to help each family that calls us, to help get them in the right direction, at least provide them some resources that should get them going in the right direction. We don't have a magic wand to fix every problem, because there's a lot of sad situations out there, but we have the experience and knowledge to help most everybody that mm-hmm. we come in contact with.
Well, and I was making notes here, because I love that you were talking about the other ways that u/we help people, VA benefits, connecting with elder law attorneys, Medicaid placement. I would also add like movers and downsizers. When people are ready to leave their home of 40 to 50 years, I hear all the time, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And I'm like, there are professionals that can help with downsizing and managing the move.
It can seem so overwhelming for seniors, especially at a point where they're, you know, top of mind for them and their kids is the health concerns that they're having and what's changing with mom. Dementia may have set in, that type of thing. So they need to be focused on the care of their mom and dad and enjoying the time they have with them instead of stressing over personal property that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. We can definitely help them with that and take a lot of stress off the plate when it comes to those things.
And I know you are a businessman, and I know I don't often see myself as a businesswoman, but there, as you just said, we help folks even when there's not a compensation sort of plan. And as early on you said to me, you know, our mantra, you know, we do right by people. We do right by them. That's what you said to me once. I'm like, oh, can I help them? And you said, yes, we want to do right by the family.
I tell you, that's the great thing about this business. I mean, it's a business. We're in it to make money. But seeing the various ways that we can help families and their appreciation for our efforts and trying to help them is so rewarding that speaks volumes. I mean, that's why we do what we do, for sure.
And I think this is a good time in the program to do another shout out for our friends at the Orange County Department on Aging, because we also work really closely with the Aging Transitions team. They've been on the show multiple times, and next week we will have Lydia Arnold for the first time on the show. She's a gerontologist with the Aging Transition team. So Kim and Kendall and Marie and Allison and all of the team there are your taxpayer dollars at work. They provide lots of resources and support and counseling. And I work closely with them as well. Sometimes there are families that, as they're supporting, they'll refer over to me if the family is ready to look at options. And I can kind of take over and we do a warm handoff. I also do referrals back over to them when we're working with our families and I feel like they could use some additional caregiver support or other resources. So while we are talking about some of the businesses that are out there, I always remember that we have a great government resource here, which is Aging Transitions through the Orange County Department on Aging. And if you're listening in Durham, you have Durham, the Center for Senior Living. If you're listening and you're in Wake, there's resources for seniors. If you're listening in Chatham, you have a great Council on Aging. So every county has wonderful services and supports. But there is a time when we find that people need a little extra support, and that's where we come in. Davis, before I'll keep putting on a little teaser. Before we get into the different levels, I appreciated your throwing out a scenario, which is a common one that we get called in, which is you gave the scenario of a woman whose husband just passed away. The family is concerned the first time she's living alone for 50 years. Maybe she's concerned as well and is looking for other options. Let's brainstorm a few other, I'm thinking of some other scenarios when kind of our client base, who contacts us. That's a common one. Other ones, I could keep talking, but I'll let you jump in and then I'll keep adding.
Well, we get calls from all different situations. You know, this, the way our society works now, you know, the kids may be living all the way across the country and mom's here and they want to move mom close to them so they can see her more often, or, you know, the health of one. The financial side of things is a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a sad situation, but a lot of families may have income of, say, $3,000 a month for Social Security. And with the cost of assisted livings and memory care communities now, they just won't pay for the private pay homes that they need. So we dig in and we try to keep up with the different communities throughout the triangle. Sometimes if you get out of Orange County and Wake County, you can get more affordable pricing if the families are willing to drive an hour out of town. But a lot of people, when they're in the financial bind, they don't have the flexibility to they need that flexibility to go out of the immediate area.
Yeah, it's different options. I'm thinking of a whole bunch of folks that, and even before I was with All About Seniors, when I was doing private work and just informal work because people knew I was in long-term care for a while, often it's folks like me, adult children, so they're, like you kind of said, concerned about their parents, either parents that are here or parents that they want to move here. I've had a few clients recently that they're here in the Triangle, and one of their parents is in another part of the state or another state, and they want them to move here, so those, we have that. I have had a few folks that are looking for themselves, and they're either seeing changes or they want to be really proactive. And so they're looking for independent living communities. So they're just ready to downsize from the complexities of the house. Well, I'm having fun I'm still brainstorming. Do you want? I've been thinking about the scenarios, but it's your show, and I keep talking. Well, technically it's my show, but you're on it, and I want you to be the guest.
And a lot of the children that we deal with trying to help their parents in the same situation that we are. We do anything we can to help our parents, but them actually moving into our house, we might not have the house set up with the first floor bedroom for them. Or in my case,
me moving into my parents' apartment during the pandemic.
It takes a toll both ways. I mean, it sounds good to start with, but we run into all different scenarios where the kids have tried to move that one or two parents in with them, and it starts to take a toll on the younger couple's marriage or the kids, and everybody has their own life. And while we love them to death and would do anything for them, it's just not, it tends not to be the best situation. So we try to keep a pulse on everything from active adult communities, 55 plus, all the way through a full-fledged memory care communities. Because every situation is different, for sure.
I'm thinking of one other scenario, and I'm sure there's a lot more, but we hear from other professionals, like attorneys reach out to us, and I had a call today, I'll tell you offline, about financial advisors who connect with us because they have been speaking with their clients who either don't have family or families far away, and they know their clients need help. So that's the other scenario that kind of we get pulled in on to help.
Yes, and most of the time, well, not most of the time, but a lot of times the families wait too long to try to address those concerns. It's better to go ahead and look into the financial side of things and try to project where mom and dad's going to be, 10 years down the road, and try to do it ahead of time so you can take the necessary steps to be in a good position when they do need your help.
I love it when, and I think it's because I was raised, and we'll talk about it in just a moment. I was raised in the continuing care retirement community world where generally people pick them out for themselves. They have to have planned for it years in advance to put themselves on lists, and so they're pretty proactive. So I love it when people connect with me themselves because they're interested in their own needs, because then they're motivated. It's a sort of a different dynamic, but they're ready to explore options. They know they want to be in a more supportive environment, and so I like those. I like all scenarios because I want to be able to help people. But that's really,
like you said, I mean, there's all scenarios out there for sure. I mean, we typically deal with the children of the aging adults.
Yes.
I would say that's the majority of the people we deal with. But some people don't have kids. So, it's all situations out there that we try to dive in, and we try to be the older adults that don't have kids. We try to fill that gap and be the kids for them to try to help them gather all the information they can about the communities and resources so they can make the best decisions for themselves.
Exactly. And the last few months I've had a few siblings. I've had people who are looking for their sister or their brother or their in-laws. So it's also, so generally it's family, but it's siblings. And I think that's really interesting as well. They have a older, younger sibling that's going through need. Okay, so let's dive in to the big, what's the word I'm looking for? The continuum of care services. Before we get into moving out of the house, let's talk about people who contact you / us / any of you, and they actually want to stay at home, but they feel like they need services. And so, because one of the things people don't realize is we help connect with home care.
Mm-hmm.
So
Everybody wants to stay at home as long as they can, and you can't blame them. Nobody's more comfortable anywhere than they are in their own home.
Except for me. Ask my family. Talk to my husband and kids. I cannot wait to move into the communities around. Literally cannot wait.
There are some nice ones out there now, for sure. Not like the old nursing homes that everybody thinks of 30 years ago.
I like other people cooking. I have no interest in maintaining a house. So, yes, and I'm super social.
But because we have such a demographics of aging population in our area with all the colleges around, there are so many home care agencies available that come to people's houses and provide helps families with the activities of daily living, whether it's bathing, dressing, meal preparation, medication management, taking mom and dad to the doctor's appointment or to the grocery store, help them cook meals and get prepared for the rest of the day or the week, that type thing. There's all different resources out there to help with that, whether it be just companion care or physical therapy can come to your house, just like they would normally associate going to therapy offices like we used to, but they can come to your house to do anything and everything now for the aging adult.
And we've had some shows on we're going to have another show in April on physical therapy, but there are physical therapy, occupational therapy, even speech therapy. There are therapies that can come into your home and Medicare can pay for it. And then there is the world that's generally private pay, which is companion care, which is just that, companionship, or the more personal home care, as you shared, for activities of daily living. I think for me, what I tell people about to be prepared for is it's a little more expensive than people generally think it's going to be. So what do you tell folks about how to prepare for that from like a cost perspective and a time commitment perspective?
Yeah, it's really gone up in price since COVID hit, and along with inflation, it seems to continue to increase. But I would say the average, I don't know if you want to get into specific prices or not.
We did it with our long-term care. Our good friend Bill Comfort, we love Bill, he came on and he was talking just to give people a general sense so it doesn't surprise them.
Right. The home care, you might as well look at privately paying somewhere between $30 and $35 an hour.
Yeah.
Now, most of the companies have 3 to 4 hour minimums per day because they have to make it worthwhile for the caregivers to come out, obviously. And some home care agencies have also put together a 15 hour per week minimum. Mm-hmm. They can come out for 3 or 4 hours a day to assist in the morning, get mom ready for the day, or they can come in the morning and come back later in the evening. A lot of these home care agencies also offer 24/7 live-in care, if that's a situation that the families can afford. But at $30 to $35 an hour, that can get expensive, and sometimes it gets to the point where transitioning a mom into an assisted living community might be more cost-efficient.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then for those of you who are on, who have Medicaid or other disabilities that make them eligible for special programs, that I always feel like I should do a shout out for. Mm-hmm. We're sponsored by the Orange County Department on Aging. So make sure that you connect with the social workers at the Department on Aging. There's a co-located Department of Social Services staff member at the Department on Aging, or talk to the folks at DSS, Department of Social Services, because you may be eligible, especially in veterans. There are some special programs where you can get support at a lower cost or no cost for home care, but the vast majority of us, it's a private pay. Okay, so just know that home care is an option, but for those people who are starting to look, Davis, this is funny. I'm thinking about, you know that game, what's it called, The Pyramid? Anyway, there's one of those game shows where you look at a person and you're like choosing, I think it's like The Pyramid Show. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say, we'll go up the level, and then you describe it, and then you know I'll jump in. But the first one is interesting because I used to use these words interchangeably, and they're not. So I used to use 55-plus communities and independent living interchangeably, and I realized there is a difference. So talk to us about if someone's looking, so you know you may already be there, but I'm 53, right. So I'm almost at 55. What are these 55-plus communities that we see?
There's a lot of similarities between the active adult 55-plus communities and independent living. The main difference is the typically the independent living communities provide meals for the residents that live there. The mm-hmm. active adult communities don't provide meals, although they still provide the social activities, the apartments, the standby, additional services if someone needs it. But the meals is the main thing there. And as you go up from the steps from active adult communities to independent living to assisted living communities, the care that's available in these communities increases, and therefore the cost of living there also increases.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an aging parent that's still very independent, can take care of themselves, but just needs some eyes on them, you know, once a day to make sure everything's going well or whatnot, they make it live fine in an active adult situation. But then if they occasionally need standby assistance for a shower or need some help with the medications, an independent living community may be the next step for them so they get that extra support.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, and I don't think I'll name communities because I don't want to say anything wrong or be an extra advertisement, but I was surprised. The 55-plus communities are truly that. They're apartment complexes. They're rental communities. They're like a lot of other condominiums and apartment complexes that are either rental or own, and so it's just a lot of folks of a shared age and have some services. One of the things they really didn't provide, one of the places, they don't check in. Like, it's not like, oh, a lot of the places from independent living up will do a daily check-in service either by phone call or there's some way. But I went to a place recently and they're like, if you call us and you're curious if your mom's okay, like, we're not going to go and open the door
right,
and check on them.
Right.
Whereas I was like, that's a big difference.
Yeah, that's so, part of that additional service that you would need. If you need someone to lay eyes on your mom daily, the independent living community may be more of a
yeah.
good fit, because a lot of them have the pendants they can wear on the necks or on the wrist, so they check in with them more efficiently.
Okay, so there. So we'll move on. So we have the 55-plus communities. And again, great, especially as... It's hard because they always say, you know, you've seen one 80-year-old, you've seen one 80-year-old. You know, people are different ages and 55. But you generally hear about the 55-plus as people who are starting to downsize. People like me, empty nesters, they want a little bit. They just want to get rid of some of the burdens of home ownership and make life a little bit, you know, helpful and take away the burdens of holding a home, but also be more social. So you have the 55-plus communities, and then you have... And so that's attractive, and we have them in our area. And then we have independent living communities, which, as you said, offer a little bit more support. Meals might have more programming, might have transportation, will have some check-in. They also are more likely, as you said, to have services on site that people can pay for privately, like mm-hmm. bringing home care into their homes, but their apartments. Okay. Anything else about 55-plus and independent living before we go on?
Well, the independent living bridges the gap to assisted living just the same way that the active adult community transitions to independent living. The assisted living communities provides a little bit more support than the independent living. The independent living communities pretty much can do anything that the assisted living communities can do, but they have to have the things on a scheduled basis. Mm-hmm. Like if you need someone to come by and help mom with the medications, they have to schedule it a day ahead so the caregiver knows that she needs to be at mom's apartment at 9 a.m. the next day.
Because mm-hmm. many of them partner with home care companies.
Right.
So they don't provide it. It's more that on site they have.
Well, it's both ways. Some of the companies provide it themselves, and then others have home care agencies that come in and do it also.
Okay.
But assisted living is provides a little bit higher level of care. They have 24/7 nursing around the clock that keeps an eye on your loved one living in the apartment on a more regular basis. They come by every 3 hours during the night and open up the door, just check in type thing. And the nursing staff is on a more continual basis in the assisted living.
Well, and I might clarify or add in the distinction that once we're on assisted living up, we're getting into what I as a regulated world.
Right.
These are licensed places. And assisted living, I also used to call the Wild West, because it's funny, you just mentioned 24 hours of nursing. Some may have that, and some may have, I went to a place recently and they're like, well, we have nurses on call 24 hours. So what's in the place, because it's they have other personal care assistants. They have access, but they're not 24 hours of nursing right on site, because that's when you start getting into nursing homes. But it's really interesting. Right. But assisted living, they really differ in the level of assistance. But now you're in a licensed, regulated building where they are offering some level of support 24 hours a day for... Do you generally say, I was looking at something, generally when you start to have like two issues, they say with activities of daily living. So whether support with eating or mobility or dressing, how do you help people determine? I had a client recently, we were rethinking, are you at the independent living level or the assisted living? And in the end, we decided assisted living, and they decided it on their own, which was nice. Like we went there just as curious, and that's an interesting...
It's a gray area there, and each situation is different. But yeah, typically, if they need assistance with two or more activities of daily living, then assisted living is probably the best fit. And that goes typically hand in hand with long-term care insurance qualifications as well.
Mm-hmm.
For the long-term care policies to pay, they typically have to have assistance with at least two ADLs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And assisted livings around here, there's a lot of them, and they're very different. They can have different feels, and again, that different level of support. I was just in a few the other day, and you know, the people talk about staffing ratio, how many staff they have. But they all provide three meals a day, right? Plus snacks. So they provide food, they provide some level of support, a lot of socialization, transportation, things like that. And then they also have contracted doctors and physical therapists and occupational therapists. So you can kind of bring a lot of people in.
Right.
I'm looking at you. Am I doing okay? I promised I would talk a little bit with
you. Yeah, you're doing great.
Well, thank you. How do you differentiate? I was wondering the order. Let's go to memory care, and then we're going to backtrack a little bit with family care homes. We don't want to confuse people, but let's still talk about these potentially larger licensed communities. And I hate the term facility. Do you hate the term facility? I hate it.
Yes, I try not to use it. It's now considered a community.
I use the word community also. I like that. Okay, so we have assisted living. What's the difference between assisted living and memory care communities?
Memory care is a type of assisted living community, but the residents that live in memory care settings need to be in a more secured, locked community. Situation like if mom wanders, if she's shown tendencies to wander out the door and not, her dementia's increased to the point where she doesn't know where she is or doesn't know how to get back home type thing, she would need to be in a memory care community just to keep her safe on a daily basis.
And it is interesting, and one of the things, I'm not going to go on a soapbox, but I will do a little something, which is there are plenty of folks who have brain changes and even earlier or mild cognitive changes, so brain changes, dementia, and they can live independently or they could live in general assisted living. But there is a certain point at which memory care may be more desirable or required by some of the folks. I have to say, again, I was raised in a community that didn't have a memory care. It didn't segregate based on cognitive because they had infrastructure and support to support people. No matter where their cognitive changes were, they could support in assisted living or in other places. So memory care is not a requirement. It's just another, it's one option that's out there. And a lot of folks... and I've spent this week looking at them and will continue for people. There's a group of people for whom it's a really good option and it's what the family wants and needs and or other professionals may require, right. Especially if the person, I heard the term the other day, exit seeking. I don't love wandering because people don't wander. Everyone's sort of moving around. I know that's an official term, wandering and elopement. But I love the term exit seeking. Had you heard that term
before?
Yeah,
we hear that term all the time. And
I'm still new.
The memory care communities can be a requirement if the residents are exit seeking or are trying to get out of the building on their own frequently. But a lot of the communities, the memory care communities, have specialized programs set up for residents that are battling dementia, so they They have, a lot of the times, they have the same socialization programs that the assisted livings offer, but they just shorten them, so they only do it for 10 to 15 minutes versus an hour, where an assisted living residence would take part in an hour. They'd break them up 10 to 15 minutes and have six or seven different ones during the day, because a lot of times the residents of memory care communities, their attention span is that short a period, and they could keep them engaged.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you highlighted that. And again, I was all in it this week and thinking about working with a family, whether it's assisted living or memory care, because sometimes people can, again, be on the line. And this issue of more modified programming and really tailored programming for people as they are going through cognitive changes. And so that's also where memory care can be really helpful. And there's more staff. It's a slightly smaller staffing ratio. I'm not sure, or larger. Anyway, there's a slightly more staff members that can be mm-hmm. in there. And so if your person could benefit from more people.
It's just the residents being around other residents that are in the same stages or are going through the same things in life that they're fighting. I mean, it makes a better situation for them to feel comfortable.
Well, I feel like since we are a talk show, and just in case any of my people, there's different feelings about that. And I was just with someone yesterday who that was her problem with memory care, is that some people feel confusion creates confusion. So it's really, again, everyone's unique. For some people, it's more supportive. And for other people, she really wanted her loved one, and this was the feeling about the place where I used to work, that if you surround people with others who are able to help tailor the conversation, I always heard the term confusion. But again, it's all about finding options, and that's what today is about. I'm looking at it like, well, there's different theories. So talk to us. So we have assisted living, and then memory care, because it provides more support, is a good deal more expensive. And that's also why I know when I'm working with families, they're kind of thinking about with which option. You always want people, right, the term to be in the least restrictive environment possible, but that's also sometimes less expensive. So there's a few reasons. How would you describe the combination? I kind of combine assisted living and memory care in my head a little bit when I start thinking about family care homes. I think a lot of people don't know much about family care homes. How would you describe those?
Family care homes are somewhat new. Over the last, I'd say, 6 or 7 years, they've become real popular, especially since COVID. A lot of the families in our area especially got a little bit disgruntled with the larger big box communities, because during COVID they locked the families away and a lot of families couldn't see their loved ones, and families got around that by entertaining the idea of moving the loved ones into these family care homes. And these are residential homes that you and I live in. You would, in residential neighborhoods, they could house, and I say house, yeah. 3 to 6 residents live
it's
there.
It's their house. Yeah, well, that's okay. It's their house. People live there. That's a fair word.
3 to 6 residents live there, whether it's they're ambulatory or not ambulatory, depending on their regulations. And these homes are regulated just like assisted livings are in the state of North Carolina. So mm-hmm. The state comes in and checks their medications on a regular basis, the food they're serving, the programs they have, and the whole 9 yards. But a lot of families have taken to these family care homes because the staffing ratio is a lot better. You might have 2 caregivers for 5 residents. Mm-hmm. And it's easily in and out. They can come visit their parents easily. They don't have to go through the big restrictions of going through corporate. If they have a question, they can go right to the nurse administrator on site to get their questions answered.
Mm-hmm. And it's a different feel. It's a cozier feel. And would you say, is it fair to say, feel free to yell at me on live radio, is it fair to say that family care home can sometimes be slightly more expensive than assisted living, but less expensive than memory care? I kind of look, it depends on the family care home and it depends on the assisted living. But around like,
it depends on the level of care for the resident.
Good point.
Is the biggest qualification to the price. But
that's true, because a family care home could be less if there's all these layers of care that get added on in assisted living. Oh, that's
yeah. I mean, okay. Some family care homes are less if you've got your mother's just has a form of dementia and she's walking around pleasantly confused, but she can do most everything on her own. I mean, they might be less expensive than an assisted living, but if you've got a non-ambulatory resident that is total care and the staff has to put so many hours per week, per day and per week taking care of this resident, the price is going to be a lot higher.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good point. And you know, I would say family care homes, I would add to what you say, the past 5 or 6 years really has been kind of more a resurgence of them, a lot bigger. These types of homes were really popular a bazillion years ago. I know they were called like the mom and pop and board and care homes. I mean, there's a history about them, but I feel like the family care homes as we see them now, which are licensed and they're proliferating more. That's a big word. Okay. We only have a few minutes left. See, I told you this time goes by fast. All right. So what I want to talk about now, so nursing homes, how would we quickly define those, otherwise known as skilled nursing facilities?
Nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities now are what we used to consider nursing homes when everything 10, 20 years ago was lumped into one category, nursing homes. We didn't have separate assisted livings, but
that's the big
this
thing.
Is the residents, the patients that need to be in a nursing home facility. I do call them facilities.
Well, they're actually licensed. They are licensed SNFs, skilled nursing facilities. They get some of them get Medicare if someone's doing they're doing an actual skilled stay.
But they're the highest care challenges of any patients. They can stay in assisted living until they get things like the need for some type catheters, or they have breathing problems, wounds
wound
that
care,
are stage three or higher that the assisted living just aren't capable of taking care of. They need to be in a skilled nursing where they get that more interaction, more.
Yeah, that actual 24 hours of intensive nursing support. And again, for, you know, that's a whole other show on Medicare and benefits. If people are doing post-operative and post-acute care after a hospitalization, it gets covered. So that's a whole other dimension of support. I do want to talk about the love that I grew up in, continuing care retirement communities, as I like to say, but there are different kinds. So I'm from the continuing care retirement community. I'll talk a little bit about that just in the interest of time, that have all three levels, as I would classify it, independent living, assisted living, and nursing, skilled nursing, all on one community. So we have a number of CCRCs like that. Oh, I think we'll have another show on that. That has a specific, people call it a buy-in. I don't love that term, but there's usually a pretty significant entrance fee and then a monthly service fee. And then in exchange, there's a commitment for lifetime care that can be offered. And so that's what a continuing care retirement community is. And so we have a number of them in our community. A type of community, a continuing care community that we're seeing a lot more of, especially in the development world, are the independent and assisted living combos. Sorry, as I choke. Those combo communities, those are different. And we have a number of them that have really become popular in the Triangle. I see a bunch now in Cary, and there's one Durham, a bunch in Raleigh, where it doesn't have the kind of wait time that traditional CCRCs have. And they don't have a nursing home component, some of them, but they have independent living. And then when people need more support, they can bring in home care into there, but they also have an on-site assisted living. So in the interest of time, listeners know that this is why I think people like us exist when I meet with folks, and they don't realize, a lot of folks don't know the difference between assisted living and memory care. They don't realize family care homes are an option, or that there is this sort of combo, as I'm naming them, these continuing care retirement communities they think about, but they don't realize that there's other versions of them. So
there's so many options out there. That's why people need to contact senior living specialists like us. I can't imagine. I mean, we learn stuff every day. I can't imagine jumping into this, trying to find my mom or dad of the proper fit in a retirement community now, and not knowing what we know, because there's so many different, the cost of everything is so expensive, you can't afford, and you want to make that move one time if you can, because each time you move a senior, it takes a toll on them health-wise. So you like to get it right the first time if you can. But
Well, and it's funny. I still had more questions, but we really only have a minute left. Can you believe it? I told you this time flies. I think we did talk about some of the fears and concerns and hesitations we see around safety and care and cost and socialization, judging quality. But I guess in the last minute or so, what do you wish more people knew, or here are the things I was curious about. What do you wish more people knew? How do you try to support folks? Trends you see? However you want to take that for the last minute, things you want to be sure to share. How's that?
Right, that's fine. I wish, people would start the process of thinking about their family's long-term goals ahead of time. All of us can make better decisions on anything when we have time to think about it, make plans, see what options are out there, instead of waiting till mama walks out of the house one day and you knew she had dementia and now we can't take care of it anymore. We got to make a quick decision. So everything's gotten so expensive with inflation. It only makes sense to try to look ahead of the game and try to figure out what goals you have for mom, how long are they going to live, you think, and try to make plans ahead of time because everything's so complicated and expensive.
Oh, that's a great point. That's actually a really good point to end on, which is we love people planning. We love being proactive. That's one of the reasons why the Aging Well Together show exists, that we can give people information and resources so they can, be supported on their journey. I hate to end it, but time flies, and it is time for our special leap year show to come to an end. Thank you, Davis Capps of All About Seniors. Even though we're not a commercial, how can they find you? Let's see, www.allaboutseniorsnc.com. Is
that's
that how
right,
they could?
Or 919-830-6478. If you have any questions, we'll be glad to help you any way we can, or we can put you in touch with our senior living specialist in your area.
Oh, well, Davis, thank you so much. And listeners, thank you so much. And as always, so appreciative of the Orange County Department on Aging, and lots of love for WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro for allowing us to have this time together. I'll talk to you all next week. Okay, bye-bye.